I want to thank God that I could be here. Oh. I want to thank God that I could be here because this is the day that the Lord hath made. We couldn't have drawn breath, nor could we be in this place as a body of believers if God would even said last night, this morning, peace be still. When I see empty pews, empty seats, it is my hope that one day these seats will be filled. Oh, my God. I'm not talking about for myself. I'm not talking about for me preaching or anyone else, as that matter. What I'm talking about is where Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray, that God would use me in a mighty, miraculous, eternal way. Because the Bible actually says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Because the Scripture came in old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Oh my God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. As that song says, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Use me, even now. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. So use me now in a mighty, miraculous, and eternal way. Oh, my God, if there be anyone within the sound of my voice that does not know forgiveness of their sins, then I pray that this would be the day, this would be the night. You said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And if there be people here, maybe all of them, I don't know, Lord God. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart, that are saved, but then they need to confess sin. They need to follow you in believer's baptism. The point is, whatever the need or the desire might be, I pray that you would fill me with thy spirit as the preacher teacher on this night, and that you would fill them. Oh, open our ears and open our eyes and open my lips that my tongue could sing forth thy praise, Lord God. And we give you the thanks and praise. Guide us now. May thy spirit move. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all the people say, amen. You turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament. We have a scripture there in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. In verse 6, we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then we have Numbers, and then we have Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, it means the giving of the law. And I know there's a verse in the Bible that says, and I strive to do this, he must increase and I must decrease. So as the preacher teacher tonight, I'm going to preach to you and I'm going to try to expound to you what the Word of God says. But I'm going to be mostly reading scripture because God is using me, but it's not me. Actually, I want you to hear, but I want you to hear what God has in store and told me and what he has in store for each and every one of you. I think about a song. And some of the lyrics to the song goes like this. In my moment of fear. We'll get back to that word. But through every pain and every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. That word faithful means you can fully trust him. When my strength, and that can be sometimes of some part of every day or every night, when my strength is all gone, and when my heart has no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. And every word, every word, every word he's promised is true. And what I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He saved me. So in Deuteronomy, there's instruction given here. Chapter 31, verse 6. And within the first line, the whole thing about the message that God laid on my heart to bring. And again, God chastened me. He guided me. He spoke to me. I know it was him speaking because I didn't hear a voice even in my head. Some people say they do that, but how do you know that that's God? When it comes from his word, then you know it's him speaking. So he says, be strong. He didn't say it was a good idea to be strong. He didn't say that you need to consider being strong. The title to my message is in one word, doubt. You don't have to answer this, of course, out loud or acknowledge this. But especially if you've been saved a while, have you ever doubted? Have you ever thought about, is this real? Like with the five senses, I've never seen, taste, touch, smell Jesus Christ. So is this all really real? And even more so, even if you believe it's really real, am I really saved? If everybody here knows John the Baptist, he baptized Jesus Christ at the River Jordan. Jesus said, for thus it be for us to fulfill all righteousness. Because John the Baptist said, you come for me to baptize you? I really need you to baptize me. Jesus went on to say, not right at that moment, but he went on to say, my memory serves me correctly. He said, from born amongst men, there's none better than John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptized the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But then if you know that later on, John was thrown into prison. He never got out of prison. He got beheaded. But while in prison, obviously, John's disciples visited him. And then he told them, go to this man, Jesus, and ask him. And I remember the words the Bible says. He said, ask him, are you he that was to come, or should we wait for another? See, what John did is what sometimes I do, even till this day. He doubted. He had actually baptized the Son of God. When he came, when Jesus came to the baptism, he said these words, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But then when he got in a bad calamity, when he got in a bad way, bad situation, he doubted. So if Jesus said, born amongst men, there's none better. Not you, not me. There's none better than John the Baptist. But he doubted. Now, I'm not trying to say that we should use John the Baptist as an excuse. But I am trying to say, even for a Christian. Now, you got some people, they're not saved because they doubt. It says in the book of Proverbs, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. One time I heard a man say, you know your Bible says there is no God? Oh, is that so? I said, I know the Bible is just. I know the Bible is the word of God. I know that the Bible is true. Show me what the Bible says, and I'll agree. There is no God. And he showed it to me. But it was part of a verse. That whole verse says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I wanted to look at him and say, go, fool. See, we can take scripture out of context. But getting back to what the subject is and moving right along, I've doubted. Have you ever prayed, maybe even here in church, and a wicked, evil thought comes into your mind? Or even more so, probably, have you ever prayed in your prayer closet? Wherever it was, in your car or something alone, and you've had a bad thought, or maybe you're praying like sometimes I do, because I have these fightings and these fears within and without. Now, if this doesn't pertain to you, oh, God bless you, that's fine. And I'm not trying to lift up myself, and I'm not trying to put myself down. But I don't know anybody better in knowledge than me. And so I want to share with you what God has laid on my heart. Here's how we can cure doubt. Look at our verse we have, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong. Doesn't mean to go to the gym. It doesn't mean to do push-ups and calisthenics and all this stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But look what it says. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Just those two words, or the meaning of those two words, appears 360 times between the old, 365 times, I meant to say, between the Old and New Testament altogether. That's the longest commandment, even in two words, that God has given in the whole Bible. Do you think he doesn't want us to fear? See, fear is the opposite of faith. If you're kind of truly fear in your heart, then you don't want something, if there's something right there that I fear, I don't want nothing to do with that. So God says once a day, 365 times in the Bible, fear not. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor, and he goes to explain it more, nor be afraid. In this case, he's talking about the people that the Jews are going to conquer. Nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God. That's Jesus Christo, Jesus. He it is that do goeth with thee. Remember I said we can't see Jesus with our senses? But see, the Bible says this, that we must believe. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is here in this auditorium right now. And look what it goes on to say. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Oh my God. As wonderful, as miraculous, as glorious as that sounds. I hate to admit to this, but I will admit to this. Sometimes, every day, I have a moment to where I feel that Christ has failed me. But when he died on the cross, see, that's where I love to tell the story. And seem like those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Every day I have to remind myself, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, a lot of people think he gave good health, and he can do that. He gave good jobs, and he has, and he can do that. He gave finances and money, and he has, and he can do that. Cars, houses, children, grandchildren, and all of these things. But one of the most popular scriptures in the whole Bible, even unsaved, unbelieving people usually know this verse. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Y'all say amen. He gave us Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sang that song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we need to be strong in the Lord. He will not fail thee, and we can't treat him like that. I said so many times, God forgive me for my doubts, because when I doubted, I acted like you failed me. If the Bible says, and we just read it, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. See, the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance. Somebody can get cancer, and we want to say the words that Jesus said on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know something, if God had forsook you, even if you have cancer or you prayed and you know somebody that's dying from cancer, I'm scared to death of cancer. But even if that's so, it was nailed to the cross. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It says so in the Word of God. Now that might not feel good at the time. But God, Jesus said, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, a familiar passage of scripture. And God laid it on my heart to share that again with you. But you know why Jesus told us to be strong, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee? For it says in the book, you don't have to turn there right now, but you probably know it. It says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, again, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, for we wrestle. You know what I try to remember? I fail a lot of times, but I try to remember. When I get up out of my bed and my feet hit the floor, the first thing I will say was, thank you, Jesus. Because in the night, he could have said, peace be still. And I would have laid there cold and silent as far as my body for all eternity. Have you ever thanked God for your bed? You know, there's people that get out of their bed and they go out and, for example, they get in a car accident and they're killed. They never see that bed again. So see, we need to be thankful. Now, I'm not trying to get you to, you know, because it's not in the Word of God. Just look at your bed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But we need to appreciate what God has done for us. We need to not forget all of his benefits. We need to not forget Jesus and his precious shedded blood. Because, see, I was saying in Ephesians 6, the Bible says, for we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, the devil can use people, but you might say that guy or that girl or that kid, they are a problem. And they may be the ones that's causing you the problem. But it's not them. They didn't get up that day and say, I'm going to cause this person a problem. It's Satan, the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It says so in Ephesians 6. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness. The rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places that we can't even reach. Why do you think that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? That whosoever, you might have witnessed to people and talked to somebody and they said, well, I don't really think even God would help me. What do you think that word whosoever means? See, how about that person over there? They are a murderer. I know this. They serve time as a murderer. You could use that word and say, who? Him. So? All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constraineth his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. He had just fed the 5,000 people. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. In other words, they said, "What is that? Who is that?" And they had been with him. They had just got done watching him take 2 loaves of bread and 5 fishes and feed 5,000 people besides women and children. Could have been 10,000, 15,000. They had just got done with that day, that evening. And now they see him walking on the water and they's like, "What is that? Who is that?" And they were afraid. It says so here in the Bible. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." Another way to say, "Woo, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Every day Jesus says, "Fear not." But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good courage. It is I. Be not afraid." Like I said so many times, so sometimes every day, I have these fightings and these fears within and without. But Jesus says to be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou." When you look at that verse, what Peter, I believe, should have said was, "Lord, bid me come unto thee on the water." But he doubted. That's why it's inserted there. He says, "Lord, if it be thou." He's actually asking God to prove himself. So he said, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said one word, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, look at what it says, he was afraid. It's like he said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me," because he knew God could do that, "bid me to walk to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So he got down out of the ship and he was going. But then the wind. So you know the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. How is it that it is so easy that he can take our eyes off of Jesus? And then that's when, in this case, Peter began to sink. As long as he kept his focus on the word of God, on Jesus Christ, and he commanded him to be not afraid, there's nothing impossible with God. The Bible says so. But as soon as he turned to the left hand or to the right hand and took his eyes, that's why we sing that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Because when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, then we'll begin to sink. We need to pray this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, you might not use those exact words when you got saved, but that's what you said. Lord, save me. And look what it says. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? In other words, he says, you could have sank, you could have perished, you could have drowned, you could have died because of your fear. I told you, come, but you didn't trust. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he would direct thy paths. One time I said, okay, Lord, but I got a problem. Not with you, but with your word. And he said, what's that? I says, how do I acknowledge? Your word says, in all thy ways, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I said, how do I acknowledge you in my sins? And he answered me. I know it was him because it's in his word. He said these words to me. It is written. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody might say in the past, in the present, or maybe in the future, you don't know what I did. A person kind of said that to me a long time ago. And I said, the word of God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, now, don't tell me, think of that sin, that bad, heinous, awful, nasty, putrid thing that you did. And they said, okay. I said, now, let's open the word of God again and see what happens. He looked at it and he said, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, but I don't know if I can forgive myself. The word of God says, I'll say it one more time and I'll leave that alone. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. That's who you need forgiveness from. He is faithful and just. God is not a liar. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 9. The next book, going towards the back, Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And the word of God says this, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they sought to cast him out, and they could not. Now look down in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, because, see, there's nothing too hard. The Bible says so, there's nothing impossible for God. And straightway, sometimes I say this phrase every day, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, he says, it's possible to believe in you. That's why I came to you. That's why I brought him to you. But I have fears. I have doubts. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Go to Matthew chapter 21. We're going back to the book before. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 21. Jesus answered, now I tell you what I've done and what we can do that's wrong. This is against doubt. But there's a remedy for every sin, sick soul. There's a solution, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus. Well, it says in Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, that means truly, I say unto you, if ye have faith, that's hope, that's trust, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the midst of the sea. Wow. It shall be done. God does not lie. Let's go to Romans. We're going to close. The book of Romans in chapter 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven. If you believe in the word of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why do you think I shout, Jesus? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Same chapter, Romans chapter 8. Look in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God. It's not if it's working for your good. That's not the question. The question is, do you love God? It's simple for me to answer because, see, I say, I love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved me. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Look in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If it's old, we use Deuteronomy. If it's new, we used a lot of the New Testament. What you've heard tonight, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard these things before. So what? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, oh, hallelujah, but delivered him up for us all. You remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And look in verse 35. Who, and I like to say what, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors through him that loved us. It doesn't say that. It says, nay, through all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But I am persuaded, that means I am convinced. It means I have confidence. It means that I'm not scared of this. For I am persuaded that neither death, Jesus conquered death, but neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is the last verse. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Word of God says this. Being confident, that means not doubting. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. That means he's going to bring it to its completion. God doesn't start anything that he doesn't finish. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing me to preach the Word of God to you. But it's all about Jesus, Cristo, Jesus. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Merciful God, in the name of Jesus, as I just said, thank you. As these folks within the sound of my voice just said, thank you. You said that the unthankful will have their place in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, but we give you thanks tonight. Oh, my God, you've given us traveling mercies here. We pray, Lord God, that you said you're the bread of life. If any man eats of me, he shall not hunger. You are the living waters. If any man shall drink of me, he shall never thirst. Well, I pray that that's been accomplished even this night. Part of our passage, you said where you fed the 5,000. Now you fed us, Lord Jesus. And we give you the thanks and praise. Oh, my God, have mercy. We are imperfect human beings. The corruptible must put on the incorruptibility, Lord God. But at the same time, your word says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, my God, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Your word says in the book of Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've diligently sought you tonight, Lord God. And as we go our separate ways, we pray that we would be mindful that we're one in the mind and the body of thee, and we are a part of the body of Jesus Christ until we come together again, or until the rapture comes and we hear those words, come up hither. We give you the thanks and praise. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. So as you've given us this day our daily bread, I just pray that you would continue to be with us. You said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Bueno, hermanos, así quedamos despedidos. Y para los hermanos que vienen el miércoles, ya hermano Timoteo va a estar aquí con nosotros ya. Oremos por el viaje de ellos, que Dios les traiga con bien. Amen. Thank you, brother Leo.
Praise God. Thank you.